For WILL, I'm Victoria Shepherd, and this is Mid-American Gardener, where we love to talk about anything connected to gardening in central Illinois. This week, I'm joined by Ella Maxwell, one of the panelists on the Mid-American Gardener weekly television show. She began working at Hare Nursery in Peoria in 1989 and is currently the assistant manager of horticultural education in the Garden Center. She's a certified arborist and a master gardener. Welcome, Ella. Thank you for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
You just reminded me before we got on air that today is the first day of spring.
Officially, yes. It doesn't feel that way.
It certainly does not. It was freezing this morning. So we've got quite a few voicemails that I'd love to get to today and perhaps a couple of other things we can talk about. But before we start, tell me, how did you get into gardening? Do you have a memory of your aha moment?
I wouldn't say that I have an aha moment, but my family gardened, and especially my mother's, my grandmother on my mother's side, they had a very large garden, and that was an important thing. So a garden was important to my mother, and then it became important to me, and then I decided to choose horticulture as a career path after being exposed. My best friend's brother, who was older, went to the University of Illinois in horticulture, and I just thought that would be the thing to do. So I have been very fortunate to have a career in a hobby that I love as much, and a very synergistic relationship with my husband, who enjoys gardening as well. So
you have a hobby that you can both do, right?
Yeah.
So before we jump into the questions, just a reminder to everyone that if you'd like to leave a question for our panelists and experts, the number to call is 217-300-8224. So our first question, Ella, is from Darlene.
This is Darlene Dickens from East Peoria, Illinois. And I have a tree, a maple tree. It's a beautiful color, and it's really, really full and beautiful. But I believe I've been told it should be thinned, and because all these little, very thin little branches are falling off. I like trying to make space, I think. I don't know, maybe you can tell me what to do. Thank you.
Well, Darlene, I must say that I'm happy that you have a beautiful tree, and with that fall color and the maple, I would think it's a sugar maple. And it's important to know what kind of tree that you have. And to have those branches dropping, they're probably coming from the interior of the tree, and there's just less light penetration there, and those are naturally shed. So I don't think that you really have a significant problem that would require pruning. And normally, you're going to remove any kind of branches that would be dead or dying or diseased or crossing, and you'd be pruning for the health and form of the tree. I think that you're probably doing everything right, and that's just part of the natural shedding. But if you'd like to have a second opinion, then that's where you might want to check with a tree service that has a certified arborist. Sometimes poor pruning practices are employed in tree trimming, and that would be topping. And you certainly wouldn't want to have that done to your beautiful maple tree. So I think you might just let this season go. Normally, large shade type trees don't require any additional pruning once the proper structure's been formed.
Well, hopefully that has given Darlene some useful information to work with. We actually had another call from Nancy asking about her southern magnolia.
And I'm calling because I have a southern evergreen magnolia tree that has grown in my back next to my house. And it's like 12, 13 years old, but it's like all the trees around here. It has scale on it. and it's killing the tree, but it's coming up from the bottom, new leaves and everything. Why is scale, what do you get rid of it? I know I raise orchids, and I know scale is very hard to get rid of there, but on a tree, I don't know, and it's on all the trees around here.
Okay, for Nancy. Nancy has a pest problem. This is a scale. It's a soft shell scale, and it's probably one of the largest scales that you can see on a tree. And it can happen on a regular magnolia, a deciduous type with the white or the pink flowers. But the southern magnolia is one that's kind of semi-evergreen, and she probably is calling from somewhere south of Champaign because they don't really grow real well up towards where I'm from in Peoria. But this soft shell insect, scale insect, has a piercing mouth part that in large numbers can damage the vascular tissue of the branch, and they can cause some dieback. Now, they have one generation a year, so it's important to understand their life cycle so that you can choose the proper treatment. And the treatment would be something, some type of insecticide. Now, personally, I'm an advocate for products that aren't going to be harsh to the environment or problematic with beneficial insects. So I think I checked and they recommended horticultural oils or insecticidal soaps. I do believe there's probably other products she would need to have to check the labels. But the idea is that the oil spray can be applied early in the spring before the new growth or later in the fall, and it actually smothers the insect on the stem. She would need to get good coverage. Or the insecticidal soap would be used usually in September to get that generation that they call the crawler stage after the eggs have hatched and they're going to start moving out from under the female to colonize in new areas. So it sounds like her tree is small enough that she could treat it herself. Nancy might be able to do it. Unfortunately, she mentioned that this is kind of an endemic problem with other trees. And the way the life cycle of the insect is that they can migrate from an infected tree back to her potentially clean tree. So it could be an ongoing problem. And she might have to decide whether or not she wants to really keep the plant and trying to continuously spray each season to keep it healthy. She could cut it down and start it over from that sucker that seems to be coming up at the base and maybe grow a new, healthier tree as well. So, Nancy, scale is, like you said, on your orchids, difficult to control, but you do need to know what kind of scale it is, and then you can check to see what the best product and treatment would be for you.
And you mentioned the products that you're talking about are organic, by the sounds of it.
Yes, that's right.
And can you get those from regular garden centers, or do they need to be?
Oh, no, these would be certainly
available.
Right, and they're for a homeowner with a EPA labeling, you know, follow the labeled instructions.
Okay, great. Well, Nancy, hopefully that helps you. We're going to move on to some flower questions now. And one of my favorite flowers, Jay Cochran, talked about.
Hi. My name is Jay from Decatur, and I have a problem with the peony bushes, or not bushes, but just the regular peony plant. And it seems like for about the last 3 years or so, when they come up and they bloom, everything's fine. And as soon as they start to bloom or after they're done blooming, the plant starts turning black and dies off clear down to ground level. And it seems like it's starting to spread to the other peony bushes, but I'm not sure what's going on. If you've got any info, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, Jay, you have a very common problem with peonies, and that is a fungal leaf spot that then can spread and engulf the entire leaf. It can also attack the stems. The peony that you have, I would call it a bush, but it does die down to the ground each year. So you need to remove that diseased foliage. You wouldn't necessarily want to compost it, probably just put it in your outgoing trash disposal. But once the peonies have started to be infected, it's difficult to stop it. So there are special fungicidal sprays that could be sprayed early in the spring, right after the bloom, to protect the leaf, to keep it from getting the leaf spot disease. But sanitation is also important. So if you do have peonies that get infected, you can remove that foliage before the new growth comes up again next spring, because that's the way they're reinfected, from the spores that are carried over the winter that splash up in the spring onto the new foliage. Some people find that putting a clean layer of mulch on top of the soil will also help to reduce the spore population, and you'll have less infection, or those spots will not manifest themselves. So it's a fungal problem. It's quite common. Usually doesn't really cause the peonies to die. It's just a disfigurement. But it sounds like yours has kind of gone beyond what just normal cleaning up might do. And you might want to try some chemical control.
So, and you mentioned that Jay could actually start in early spring to treat this problem. So are we talking about now?
Well,
or is it too soon?
It's normally you would wait until the foliage has emerged and fully expanded. And he said that it doesn't really show up until after they bloom. Mm-hmm. So for him, most of these products are just a protectant of the leaves. They're not systemic inside of the plant. So they would just need to be applied prior to the first real noticeable infections. And he might want to wait to spray until after the bloom is done so that he doesn't have to worry about damaging the flower.
Okay, great. So we had a question that was emailed in about colorful perennials. And Michelle said, please, can you tell me some easy-to-care-for perennials that are as colorful as annuals? It seems that when I shop for plants at my garden center, all the annuals are happy and bright, but the perennials aren't as much fun to look at. What could you recommend to Michelle? And we also had an email from someone else who was asking about colorful perennials that are good in the shade. So what
okay,
do you suggest?
For Michelle and any of those, the thing to understand with the annuals is that they are always going to be a necessary part of our garden because they just live for that single season and their flowering ability is nonstop. The perennials will return year after year, but they have more of a sequence of bloom or a defined period of bloom. Some of those can extend for several months with deadheading and cutting back, maybe the spent flowers to keep them blooming. But it's unrealistic to think that a perennial can take the place of an annual. Now, there's lots of good ones, and if you're looking for colorful plants, it's also important to think about the foliage colors because they're going to be there whether the flowers are there or not. And many of the perennials now are being developed to have maybe a chartreuse colored foliage or a dark red colored foliage or, you know, some other color. And you're going to see that especially with shade perennials in the hostas. Of course, hostas are grown mostly for their colorful leaves. And you'll find that if you want to have that kind of wow moment in the garden, it's if you put stark contrasting plants next to each other so that you get that real punch. And especially if you're using in the shade something that is yellow or white, maybe a white variegated plant is going to show up much more than something green. So for shade perennials, many people like astilbe that bloom in the spring, and then they have a fine textured foliage that helps carry them through the summer. Of course, the hostas. There are later flowering fall bloomers like the turtlehead, the chelone. I really like those. There's Tricertis, that's the toad lily. They, again, bloom in the fall, and you can get a variegated form. There's also several low kind of hosta-like plants, Brunera and lungworts, the pulmonarias, that have very colorful spotted foliage, although the flowers are not as significant. Lobelia, many of the lobelias, the blue lobelia or the cardinal red lobelia, also do well, as well as columbines. So there's lots of flowers out there. There's lots of catalogs available that you can request or look at online that's going to give you lists of plants, reference books at the library on perennials that you could pursue and then try to find them. Well, you will find them in the garden center. I'm going to be quite positive. But for great flowers in the summer flowering ones would be many of the perennial or the prairie type perennials, which would be coneflower, might be liatris, might be the sunflowers, the perennial sunflowers, different things like that, galardia, that normally flower for most of the summer. Maybe Michelle would find that those would be of benefit to add. The Shasta daisies, the Rudbeckias, some of those different kinds of things I think would be great.
Wow. There's a lot.
Oh, there is. There's more than
so
you
many.
Could ever collect.
So do you have a favorite reference book that you go to if you or you advise people to take a look at when they say, what, you know, I need a hardy perennial? Is there a certain reference book that you in particular like?
Well, there are some different books out there. It depends on what you're looking for. If you want one on maintenance, there was a woman, Tracy De Sabato Angst. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name, Tracy.
We will find out that name.
But she has, that one's very good on maintenance, but our own Diane Nolan wrote a perennial booklet that
really?
You can get through the University of Illinois Press. And maybe you'll find that that's valuable because she did teach a class on perennials. So I would say that she would be the expert and our go-to girl.
I think that is fabulous. And
have her book.
For anyone who doesn't know, Diane Nolan is, of course, the longtime, she retired last year, the host of our beloved Mid-American Gardener television show. So I think that's a very good suggestion. Go, Diane. Lilacs, how are they? And is that good in the shade or in?
No, the lilacs do best in a full sun area because they're a spring bloomer, although we're going to. In the last couple of years, they have introduced what they call a re-blooming lilac. It's called bloomerang, and they have it now in kind of a purple or a lavender color. And what's interesting about it is that after the spring bloom is over, you can cut off those spent blossoms and maybe lightly prune the plant, but they will make flower buds that will come out again in the fall. So this is a lilac that blooms twice. Now, you don't have the large flower and the scent associated with the common French hybrids, but I'm sure that's coming down the pipeline. I think there is a pink one called Scent and Sensibility or Scentability,
the
play on those
names.
Words. Yes. Yeah. So lilacs are certainly wonderful, and I think we had a question from a
nice segue into
voicemail.
I thought that would be a great one.
I am a Tawanda viewer, and I'm interested in planting a new lilac bush. And I was wondering if you could advise me regarding type, are the reblooming, or ever blooming good? Do I need to watch for disease resistance? How much might I expect to pay? I have a full sun area with room for it to grow. Any help appreciated?
So that pretty much your response to my earlier question
right.
will covers that.
Right. She has full sun. She can have a lilac that might be 12 foot tall, but most of the newer lilacs now are going to be under 6 foot. And the reblooming lilacs are going to kind of be about 4 foot because it works best if you do kind of keep them lightly trimmed. And most of these shrubs are going to be grown in a 2 or 3 gallon container and are usually priced under $40. There are a lot of different lilac and colors out there. Some of the older varieties did have a problem with mildew, and this would be a kind of a white, cottony covering on the leaves. It can wipe off, but it's grown or you see it in lilacs that might be getting shade or poor air circulation. So normally if you have full sun, no problems. Spring's the best time to buy a lilac because you can see the flower, you can smell it, you can love it, you can take it home and plant it.
Okay, one last question for you. If you were an edible plant, what would you be and why?
If I was an edible plant, I think I would be an eggplant. I think eggplants are underrated. I think eggplant is a wonderful plant to grow. It's a wonderful plant to purchase. I love the silky, smooth, beautiful purple color, although they do come in other colors. But it's a wonderful roasted vegetable. It's a vegetable that is utilized by a lot of cuisines that are not, you know, American cuisines, but it's used in Middle Eastern cooking and Italian dishes. There are just so many things. And people say, oh, I don't like it. It really has no flavor. It's the combination of spices or, in the recipe, the other ingredients that lend to it that add so much to it. So I take that as a personality thing, that I can add a lot to the ingredients of the other people around me.
I love it. Although you would bruise easily.
Yes, yes. And there are flea beetle issues, but we won't go there.
We won't go there. Well, thank you so much, Ella, for coming in and chatting with me. We got through a wide variety of questions. And you're back here for the show on Thursday.
Yes, right? That's right. That's right. So I feel very blessed to be able to participate. And I think a lot of people have indicated that they enjoy this kind of presentation and they really appreciate the inclusion that they have with their questions and their calls to get good garden answers. And that's what I want to do for our customers at the nursery, you know, each and every day.
Well, I love hearing this feedback. We like to answer people's questions and get questions. So thanks to you guys out there for joining us for this episode of the Mid-American Gardener podcast. Mid-American Gardener is a production of Illinois Public Media. This episode was produced and hosted by me, Victoria Shepherd. Executive producer was Lisa Brotz. Find us on the web at midamericangardener.org, or you can stream us as many times as you like. Episodes are also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the NPR One app. So please do subscribe and rate with abandon. And don't forget to send your questions via email, Facebook, or leave us a voicemail at 217-300-8224. As always, we'd love to hear from you. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another gardening whiz. In the meantime, get your gardening gloves on and pull your wellies out, as we say in England. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you.